Hey, Press Row listeners, it's Mike Golick from Mike and Mike. David and Jay are back at it with more Press Row, and it continues now on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific Tuesday. This 3 o'clock hour of Press Row is brought to you by Heavenly Flavored Wings. Bite-sized wings, whole wings, jumbo wings, traditional, and boneless. Heavenly Wings has every type of chicken wing there is and more than 10 sauces to go with them. Visit Heavenly Flavored Wings on Brainerd Road or the East 3rd Street location for lunch or dinner. Heavenly Flavored Wings, your 3 o'clock sponsor here on Press Row. It's a pleasure to welcome in on the Hardee's Hotline. We from time to time have Scott Rabelais from the Baton Rouge Advocate. This is one of his co-workers, Ross Dellinger, who broke the story about the removal of Les Miles and Cam Cameron. As a reporter, I want to congratulate you, and as a radio show co-host, I want to welcome you. Ross, how are you today?
Good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Listen, can you kind of give us the Cliff Notes version of how you learned things were going on? If you could start with Saturday night leaving Jordan-Hare Stadium after that chaotic finish, how did you first kind of get wind of this? Did you even get to sleep Saturday night?
I slept about 3 hours, so on Saturday, maybe. Went to bed around 3:30, got up around 6:30. We were staying in Montgomery, LSU obviously playing at Auburn, and we were staying in Montgomery. We almost decided to drive through the night to get back to Baton Rouge that morning because we heard, strong enough stuff that things were moving in the direction of something happening. You know, whether it was Cam getting fired or Cam and Les or something we knew something was going on. So that started. We started hearing that pretty much 2 or 3 hours after the Auburn game, about 11 o'clock midnight on Saturday. We got back to Baton Rouge around 1:30, 1 o'clock. And on the way, I got a call, and it was pretty obvious to me that Cam and Les were going to be fired that afternoon. That was around 1 or so. And there was a meeting later in that afternoon around 2 maybe or 2:30 or something like that between the head guys at the school, and they were going to make a final decision, and they did, you know. I got wind of it around, 3:15, 3:30 or so, and was able to put out the news as I was in the parking lot of the football operations building watching Ed Orgeron walk into the building.
Wow. All right, as someone who covers Georgia for the Times Free Press here in Chattanooga and dealing with the Mark Richt situation at the end of last season, I mean, Richt was fired after a win over Georgia Tech. And of course, that was his 13th in 15 years. And of course, it was a very divisive feeling among Georgia fans. A lot wanted him to continue. A lot wanted to change. If you had to put a percent, just trying to gauge it as best you can, what has kind of been the feedback as far as those who are ready for Miles to go and those who wanted him to at least coach out this season?
Well, I think just like any fan base on any decision, especially one of this magnitude, it's divided. But I would say after the first 4 games of this year, a lot of people, the majority, probably felt like it was time for LSU to change and change pretty quickly. And, you know, the Tigers entered the season ranked number 5 in the preseason poll. And by week 4, you're unranked and you've got 2 losses and all but out of the, certainly the playoff picture, if not the SEC championship picture. You look at the road ahead and it's really tough. Especially for a team who has not scored on offense in the fourth quarter yet this year. It just looks so gloomy that I think you have, for the most part, you've got fans believing that this was the right move. But there's that small segment of people who probably either thought Les should have been allowed to coach, you know, through the season, and or at least you know, be allowed to kind of go a little farther, you know. So it is kind of split, but I think most feeling here is that it was a good decision, a decision that needed to be made. And then you put in a guy like Ed Orgeron, who's a Louisiana guy, you know, loud Cajun, and he's got such Louisiana ties that it was kind of a move to re-energize the program, get everybody excited.
Ross, now I know when you make a move this time of year, you can get the intention is to get a jump on other schools that may be looking to make changes down the road, like Southern Cal or if Texas implodes. But you also, I mean, you cover LSU. It could also create kind of a, I don't know, circus-like atmosphere may be a bit strong, but I mean, this is a 2-2 program that still has 5 ranked teams on the schedule. How do you think this could be a distraction the rest of the way for this team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know, you have lots of changes happening, and they're all happening right in the middle of a season. You know, usually you have changes made when you have a new head coach, and not just a new head coach, half of the staff has changed. Offensive coordinator, you know, of course, was fired, and so Steve Ensminger was promoted from tight ends coach to offensive coordinator. You know, left the tight ends coach empty, and you move up somebody there, and then, you know, and Orgeron's can't spend all day in the defensive line room, so he's hired Pete Jenkins to come. So you got a lot of new faces, a lot of things changing, and you wonder, you know, how can they handle all this? And Danny Etling, the quarterback, actually mentioned that in interviews Monday. You know, like, so much stuff was changing, you have to remain focused. And I guess, you know, is LSU going to remain focused? I don't know. You know, we'll have to find out that Saturday against Missouri.
You're listening to Ross Dellinger of the Baton Rouge Advocate, who broke the story Sunday that Les Miles and Cam Cameron were both out at LSU. You're listening to Ross here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Ross, LSU AD Joe Oliva came out and said that Ed Orgeron, this is a trial run for him. If you had to put odds on it, what are your odds that Ed Orgeron is the next full-time coach of the LSU Tigers?
Gosh, it's pretty long. I think it's somewhat long odds. I don't think it's impossible.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, I definitely think there is a chance. But how great of a chance? I'm just unsure. But I will tell you that, you know, Joe Oliva, it's pretty obvious. You know, he probably wants a head coach, prefers a head coach with offensive background,
right?
That you have Dave Aranda on staff already as the coordinator. You're paying him a lot of money. He's got a long contract. And you see what LSU's offense has done and struggled so much the last 2.5 years. He wants somebody to come in, I think, spread it out, fling around the ball, you know, give some energy and a new kind of scheme to LSU's offense. So you feel like he wants an offensive guy. But at the same time, you know, Ed Orgeron, he's attached so much to Louisiana, and people love him so much here, you have to think that if he has enough success this year, that he has a real good, you know, you're not going to be able to, I mean, what if he goes 8-0 or 7-1? I mean, how, you know, you're going to be able to not give him the job and basically fire him, because I'm sure he would leave if he did so successful and then didn't get the job. So,
yeah, but isn't that dangerous? Because David talked about the potential of the distraction of this and how this thing could bottom out. But if you're Johnny LSU fan and you wanted to run Les Miles, partly because his clock management was crazy, partly because at some point the grass chewing gets old, partly because he's just not Nick Saban. If Ed Orgeron goes 7-1 and you promote him, I mean, the entire fan base has to take a step back and just scratch their head at that point, right?
Well, I do. I think there's enough people in the fan base that probably, are liking it a lot. And if he goes 7-1 with this schedule, I think you'll see a lot of them probably jump on board, you know, for him to be the next coach. But certainly there'll be people that are wanting an offensive kind of guru to take over and somebody that will completely change the way, you know, Les Miles has run his offense specifically for the last 3 years or so. So it is, it's a weird dynamic, and it, you know, it could get tricky if he has a lot of success. Let me tell you, he's going full throttle with this thing. He's making all kind of changes at Orgeron is. He's really catered to the media. He's catering to former players. If I had to guess, you know, he's probably calling boosters and such. I think that he's really trying to get this job, you know, not just for the next 8-10 weeks, but for the next 10 years.
Now, everybody in the country is floating the names Jimbo Fisher and Tom Herman. What other names besides those? Because everybody's going to deny. They're going to say, I'm happy where I am. What are a couple other names you're hearing?
Well, it's so early. I don't even think really the search, quote unquote, you know, has necessarily begun with when it comes to, you know, LSU's athletic department officials, like the real authorities. I wonder if it's really, you know, started up. Now, I know is a second or third party reaching out to an agent or something like that, maybe, you know, but Tom Herman and Jimbo Fisher jump out as guys you would think LSU would want. And Jimbo Fisher is a guy that former LSU offensive coordinator who's really kind of indicated in the past that he would love to come back. You know, I think he hasn't really said that publicly, but privately, I think he's made those feelings known to some people. And certainly LSU has confidence that they can get him. They were talking with him, of course, last year when the possible plan to fire Les Miles fell through. But he was the one. He was the guy. I don't know if he's still the guy because, you know, Tom Herman, obviously, 4 hours away in Houston doing great things. And Houston, by the way, you know, LSU's largest alumni base outside of Louisiana. So it makes – and then he also is friends with Dave Aranda. They played together. So there's some connections there. Those feel like the top two, you know, but I don't think LSU is going to hold back. You know, they got a lot of money, and when you fire someone that's successful at Les Miles, you better bring in someone who is going to work.
You're listening to Ross Dellinger of the Baton Rouge Advocate here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Ross, I think when the Les Miles legacy is written, you know, in his demise, it'll ultimately be because you've seen Nick Saban evolve over in Tuscaloosa with dual threat quarterbacks and quicker tempos with Lane Kiffin. You know, so maybe Cam Cameron gets lumped into that. I'm curious about the dynamic with Leonard Fournette. I saw his press conference on the computer that he gave a couple of days ago. I mean, here's a guy that you could certainly argue is the best player in college football, and yet LSU's 19-10 since Leonard Fournette walked onto campus. How surprising is that to you?
Yeah, very, very. It's something probably nobody really expected or could have predicted, but that's kind of how important I think in college football these days and football in general that the quarterback position is. You know, if you don't have a solid quarterback, and you're gonna probably fail offensively. And LSU's realized that over the last couple of years, and just so happens that Leonard came along when the struggles of the quarterback position were probably as bad as they've ever been here in the last several years. And you know, I'm sure he would never say it, but you know, he came here to win a national title, and you know, he's not, almost certainly not going to do that now. You know, this is his junior year. He'll almost certainly be going to the NFL draft, probably be a top one or two, you know, draft pick. And so it's wild to kind of look back on somebody's career, maybe the best running back in LSU history, maybe the most highly touted signee in LSU history, and he, you know, he's not going to win any kind of championship.
Ross, listen, great stuff. Congratulations again on breaking the story of Les Miles' departure, and we're huge fans of you and huge fans of Scott Rabelais, and keep up the good work that y'all do for the Baton Rouge Advocate. Thanks again for joining us here on Press Row.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, Ross Dellinger, the Baton Rouge Advocate, will reopen the Hardee's Hotline. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Hi, this is Coach Ed Orgeron with LSU Football. Sorry I can't make the call right now, but I'm out recruiting the best football player in the country for LSU. Oh, let's go.